5 DVDs. And with a donation of $1,000, you get the t-shirt, the DVDs, and the limited edition InfoWars Money Bomb Bullhorn, pre-recorded with a special message from Alex himself. Now be aware that your contributions do not have to be limited to donations. The InfoWars shop will be up and operating the full 48 hours. But the action isn't limited to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Stop by eBay for these great gifts, such as the InfoWars Sledgehammer, broken in and signed by Alex himself.
Oh yeah, New World Order. The InfoWars coming for you.
As well as these other great tools. And the granddaddy of all auction prizes, the Norman microphone that Alex has used in his broadcast daily for the past several years.
It's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012.
And just in case they go out of style this November, we dug deep and pulled out the Obama Joker shirt. And as you can see, it bears the Alex Jones signature right there. The InfoWars Money Bomb launches this Thursday, October 18th, and runs for 48 hours. Click on the links at the bottom of the screen to navigate you where you need to go. I'm Jakari Jackson, and if you are watching this transmission, you are the resistance.
Some great calls in the last segment. Thank you for the calls and thank you for the comments. This is Mike Adams, the health ranger of naturalnews.com, filling in here, and I've got you for another 15 minutes or so. Okay, how's that sound? And it's funny, I was out there rapping with the crew, and then John Baum says, oh, you've got 12 seconds or whatever, get in there. So fortunately I was able to make it in here. You know, when you hear the radio show and sometimes after a break, you just hear music, that's when Alex is rushing to get back here from the warehouse on the other side of the building, that kind of thing. Anyway, I'm here. You're here. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for your support of the InfoWars Money Bomb. Go to that website, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Help us reach the goal, which I believe is $1 million. That's like double last year's goal, isn't it? I think last year was maybe 500K, 600, something like that. Anyway, it takes a lot of money to run this organization. Trust me, I know, because I run a similar type of organization over at Natural News. It's expensive. There's overhead, there's taxes, there's payroll taxes on top of the salaries. Oh, man. And then there's bandwidth. I can only imagine. I bet InfoWars, this is just my guess, but I bet InfoWars spends $50,000 a month on bandwidth. I mean, I might be off, but I bet they do. Because I know what we spend, and I know InfoWars serves out even more traffic. It's expensive. So your support is what keeps this running. And remember, InfoWars isn't going to get a government bailout. Nope. Not going to get another $1 trillion from the Fed. I don't think the Federal Reserve is going to show up here with a big suitcase full of gold bars to say, hey, Alex Jones, why don't we fund you to tell more people about the truth about us, the Fed? That's probably not going to happen. So if you want to keep this organization going, you got to donate. Please give us that financial support that InfoWars needs to keep going. And by the way, just so you know, I mean, I've said this on the air before, I donate too. I donate my time whenever I host. That's a donation. And in fact, I'm working behind the scenes right now to bring InfoWars a couple of products that they could offer in their store that can help them financially support their operation. And hopefully you hear about those in a few weeks. But some really good stuff to help empower this organization and empower readers and listeners. Anyway, let's go to some more calls. And if you want to call in, by the way, here's the number, 877-789-ALEX. Again, 877-789-2539. That's the call-in number. And we've got Jared in Louisiana on the phone. Thank you for joining us, Jared. What's on your mind?
Oh, Mike, first off, thanks for everything that you do. I frequent your site and always enjoy it whenever you host for Alex when he's out of town.
Thank you.
Just wanted to tell you a couple things. First off, driving to work the other day, they had cones out in the middle of the road and one of those big traffic signs off to the side saying flu shots available, and it was actually a drive-through flu shot clinic.
Wow.
Where you just drive up and they stab you in the arm and you get to move on along your merry way. I thought that was pretty amazing.
Like a drive-through poisoning, yeah.
Exactly,
amazing.
Wanted to say I started taking vitamin D about 2.5 years ago. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I sat down at one of those blood pressure cuffs in Walmart, and it was about 200 over 168.
Wow.
So they put me on blood pressure medication. I got on vitamin D and don't have to take blood pressure medication anymore. Started taking iodine, and it stopped my dandruff, so that might be something interesting for the eczema individual.
Yeah, good point. Iodine is crucial throughout the body. In fact, there are receptors for iodine on virtually every organ, every major organ in your body.
And it's something that you naturally just don't run into a whole lot unless you're by the seashore.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Us land dwellers don't get iodine unless we seek it out. And you're right. Like Japanese, they get it in their diet because they eat so much nori, which is the seaweed in the sushi. But a lot of us from the Midwest, like myself or here in Texas, we don't get a lot of seaweed or sushi, you know?
That's exactly right. But another thing I wanted to tell everybody, I raise chickens, got about 60 in my flock.
All right.
I can tell you for a fact that being around them will expose you to certain toxins and things that actually works as a natural vaccination that helps to build up your body against a lot of things that you normally wouldn't encounter from things that are mass-produced that will actually help keep you from getting sick.
You are absolutely correct. I'm really glad you mentioned that. And I raise chickens, too, in addition to my goats. And I totally agree with you. Just being around the chickens, you got to clean the chicken cages, you know, the chicken houses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm around goats. I'm milking the goats. We've got a couple of donkeys, too. I'm around these animals all day long, and I don't have any allergies at all. I never get sick at all. I mean, at most, I might get symptomatic if I'm really exposed to something bad, like for, you know, 12 hours and that's it. And then it's conquered. But being raised on a farm is the healthiest thing you can do for a child.
Right. I got two children at home. Unfortunately, I woke up too late. I had started getting my son vaccinated. He's 9 now. He hadn't had a vaccine in quite a few years, but it's the stark difference between him and my daughter, who's only 4 and who never gets sick.
Yeah.
And he is constantly battling something.
You know, it's
and
funny.
You know, it's just amazing the shift that you see between those two.
Absolutely. That's good information to hear. Parents in America have become convinced that children are just supposed to get sick constantly. And they have their children at the doctor's office, pediatrician, just constantly. And if you don't inject those children with vaccines, then they call the police on you, you know, to come take them away. It's ridiculous. Look at the Amish children. They don't get the vaccine shots, typically, most of the time. And they're the healthiest children that you're going to find practically anywhere. I've visited farms here in Central Texas that where it's like kids running around literally with pigs and farm animals and, you know, and the dirt everywhere. And they're the healthiest kids I've ever seen. They're bright. They learn quickly in school. They speak well. They have good attention. They're bright kids because they're around farm animals.
That is exactly right. So I would encourage anybody to do it. It's not that hard to do. It doesn't take that much space. And the only bad thing is after you get used to having your own yard eggs, you can't hardly stand to eat them at a restaurant anymore.
Isn't that the truth? Hey, I'm guilty.
They don't taste real.
I'm guilty of bringing a dozen eggs to a restaurant and asking the chef if they'll use those eggs. And they
have
won't.
Have a good day, and we appreciate everything you do, boss.
All right. Thank you, Jared. Thank you. Much appreciated. All right, Tammy in Kentucky. Tammy, are you on the phone?
Hello.
Hello, Tammy. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Mike here.
Hi, Mike. This is the first time I've ever called in. I've listened to Alex Jones kind of off and on. We drive semi-truck, so sometimes the schedule gets juggled around. But I just wanted to kind of put my input on. I do believe that my grandmother and my Aunt Katie, before she passed away, basically groomed me because they knew something was coming. They lived through the plague and all that stuff. I know how to can. I know how to grow crops. I know how to gut an animal, get an animal, trap an animal. I know how to sew clothes. I know how to do quilts, blankets.
Well, you're ahead of schedule then, because 99% of the American people don't know that. What they know is sports scores, and they know the latest Xbox Tom Clancy first-person shooter game. and they know that Lady Gaga vomited on stage the other day. The only reason I know is because that was on Drudge. But it sounds like you've got real skills instead of the virtual skills that everybody else is becoming experts in.
Yeah, I know how to do outside cooking on a campfire.
There you go.
And how to can. Now, my Aunt Katie, she actually died very young at cancer. And my grandmother passed away roughly about two or three years ago now, I think it's been.
Well, Tammy, do you have some advice for the listeners here, some way that they can get into all of these skills? What would you tell them?
Well, a lot of what I did was, just like the other gentleman said, if you have animals, and if you don't have animals, and you're struggling with trying to grow your plants or your crops, go to a farm, get the manure. Take the manure and put it somewhere on your property and just leave it for the wintertime. We have horses and we have a cow.
And just let it compost, right?
Oh, well, kind of.
Yeah.
What we do is we just pile it up and it sits there all winter long. We do not rotate it. We do not do anything to it. It just sits there. It breaks through the wintertime. And it will be really, really good, rich. And the other thing that I do is people that are concerned about actually putting a plant inside the ground is I have flower beds that you lay a couple layers of plastic down. Go get the manure. The manure is the key. As much as you can get, let it rot. Pile all this manure onto the plastic. When you're ready to plant, put your plants in there. If you rotate it through the wintertime, you're going to lose all the heat and all the nutrients that are in there. So when you go to put it on the plastic, you're going to get a lot of heat that's going to come out of the manure.
Yeah, you're getting pretty detailed there, Tammy. It's good information, and I appreciate you sharing this. But I want to move the show forward here. But that's good information. It also brings up the point that I think it is almost impossible to have a sustainable agricultural system without some kind of animal input. I've had that debate with vegans before, where they try to do a garden that's completely vegan, you know, no animal inputs, and then they end up buying compost from another ranch somewhere from animals. So there is an animal element that's very important. I want to thank you for your call, Tammy. It's funny, when you first started talking about piles of manure, I thought you were going to refer to the presidential debate, but you were actually talking about piles of manure. So that's good. That's good. It's actually, you know, that manure is actually very useful for literally growing food. So we should collect it right on stage there the next time Obama and Romney get up there. Anyway, okay, moving on. Shannon in Wisconsin. Shannon, you're on the air. You'll be my last caller today. How are you doing?
Oh, hey, I'm very good that I'm talking to you. You inspire me for healthy living, and I'm just amazed that I'm actually talking to you live now.
Yes, you are indeed. How can I help you?
A couple questions. One, with the prepping, I live in a city. It's in the Midwest, so we got our cold winters and whatnot. Do you think if I could convert a 1,100-square-foot basement, could I have some type of an indoor garden with the lighting and whatnot? Do you think that would be a possibility to build something like that?
It's going to be very electricity intensive, that's for sure. Guys, well, how much time do I have here? Okay. It's going to be very electricity intensive. It's going to be very difficult to do it that way. The best way is to actually have a greenhouse that can help store the heat and lets it in from the top, so you're using sunlight. Anyway, thank you for your call. I gotta go, folks. Thank you for all your support and all your questions.
In a few minutes, we are on the front line against the new world order, and your contribution is the fuel that will take the fight to the next level. InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 2 days to wake up the world. Go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, donate, and help us defeat the New World Order.
Hello, I'm David Ortiz, and we're about to give you an exclusive tour of the InfoWars studio. I know quite often the public wonders, what does Alex's studio look like? He always talks about it on air. Well, we're about to give you an exclusive tour of the studio, and once again, we thank you, because without you, this wouldn't be possible. So follow me, and let's get on the tour. And as you can see, occasionally, there are different posters on the wall that promote freedom. This poster over here says, it's of Thomas Jefferson. It says, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. However, when the government fears the people, there is liberty. And you're going to see posters like that that promote freedom throughout the studio.
Hey.
And this is our producer, Rob Dew.
How's it going, everybody?
When you walk into the studio, Alex's radio studio is right there. So it's not like in the back somewhere. It's right there. So this is where Alex produces his radio show. It says, do not disturb. Is anyone here right now? Okay. So we're going to give you a sneak peek. This is the view from Alex's seat here. As you can see, all the cameras, high-tech HD cameras that enables you to watch this show on PrisonPlanet.tv. You also see the glass here. That's where the radio producer kind of communicates with him. And obviously you see the spread down there of the magazines. Alex literally has stacks of news prior to every show, sometimes as much as 20 stacks. So a little bit of a different view for fans. Now this is the view that Alex sees when he walks out of his studio, and he does this during commercial breaks as well. Let's take a look. This is his team. This is his radio team. This is Chris.
Hello. Chris, producer.
This is CJ. CJ also produces a lot of the shows. Dan Badondi is also a reporter slash producer for the radio. And this is obviously the switchboard. And let's give you a shot of what it looks like through the glass.
Okay. If you want, you guys follow me. I don't mind. We got a soundproof room in here. All right, so we are recording we call it the Tonight, and every night for the InfoWars Nightly News, it's either myself, John Bounders, a number of people who come in here, write and record it. Okay, here we go. Tonight, the CIA is arming Al-Qaeda in Syria as thousands of what the New York Times calls hardline Islamic jihadists invade. Then, holy sh! There is a staggering amount of feces in our food. Plus, the nanny state goes into overdrive as an elementary school interrogates and suspends a student for drinking tea. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News. That's how we roll, baby. So it's like that. And then we got to go cut it and put some graphics on top of there. This is just one of the many things we do daily here, deep behind enemy lines at the Central Texas Command Center.
Now, right next door to Alex's studio is Kurt Nimmo's studio, Kurt Nimmo's office, and Adan Salazar's office. These are the individuals, they're some of the writers for InfoWars.com. So quite often in between breaks, Alex will peek into this office and he'll say, hey guys, write up a story about this. And they're right next door, literally inches away from Alex's studio. So this is Kurt Nimmo, the famous Kurt Nimmo. This is Adan Salazar. They're two of the writers here at InfoWars.com. And this is their office. And they're busy writing stories throughout the day and posting it on InfoWars.com. Guys, this right here, right outside the studio, is story ideas. If you want your story aired on the radio show, if it previously aired on the nightly news, just let Alex know here. Hey, Alex, can you show my story on the radio? Can you air my story on the radio? News report ideas, errands for Alex to do, media request. So this is just a little kind of box there. And, oh, as you can see right here, we have a lot of humorous stuff on the walls. This is one of the posters we have on the wall. It says, you write what you're told. Thanks, corporate news. We couldn't control the people without you. A message from the Ministry of Homeland Security. We've got some local articles here that show when Alex was on the rise a couple years ago. Alex Jones preaching the conspiracy gospel at a station near you. And that was a profile piece that the Austin American Statesman wrote up in 1999. And these are different articles. And of course, this is Alex looking ripped. He won the Best of Austin, Best TV Personality in 2001. This is of George Washington. And he's, the quote reads, "A free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government." And of course, you've got the famous megaphone. "I'm talking to you, scam. You hear that, New World Order trash?" I always wanted to do that. And over here is, you know, very simply, where the reporters on the InfoWars Nightly News team, where the cameras are stored, and where we place them every day. So now we're going to walk this way, and we're going to see some other sections. And here we are in our sales department. There are several people in this department, but right now only Will is here. Will handles sales for the newspaper as well as for the website.
Websites, radio, all nine yards.
The websites, the radio as well. So here you go. Simple room, but they get a lot done here. So here we are in the warehouse. Obviously, you see just mountains of DVDs. This is your shirts over here. Anything that is ordered, this is where it's shipped from. Okay, hello. Kindly introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your job description here at InfoWars.
I'm Christy Hightower, and I actually am site moderator for Planet InfoWars. You might have seen me on some of the updates we do or the Ask Alex segment. So if you're actually into the Ask Alex segment, you have questions for him, go ahead and send those to the group on Planet InfoWars. And also, we're going to actually do a live stream of it at 10 a.m. on Friday, so that'll be fun.
Now, Christy, what do you enjoy most about your job?
Talking to you guys, actually, that's the best part, because the information and the links and things that you guys provide and the cool stories and articles that you write yourselves are always really entertaining and usually really educational. So thank you.
Now, how has this operation grown since you've been here, Christy?
All right. So it exploded. I think I got here 6-7 months ago, and about 2 months into me being here, it was like a quiet little office. And then all of a sudden, boom, like the girls' bathroom, can't even use it. I have to go all the way around the building. I mean, that's just a fun example, I guess. There's so many new people getting hired on, and they're all amazing.
Is there any last thing you'd like to say to viewers who are watching the Money Bomb?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I'm glad that you're tuning in. Thanks for supporting the InfoWar, and keep up your activism. So I'll be paying attention if you guys post stuff on planetinfowars.com. So. Thank you.
Every time InfoWars needs to be updated, they update it right here. So whenever there's a new article, this is where they post it. Hello, kindly introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your job description here at InfoWars.
I'm Carter Watkins. I'm the art director for the magazine, and I work with all the people in the office, and we make the magazine.
What do you enjoy most about your job?
I like the freedom to just make art for the magazine. come up with a way to deliver the message with imagery and words.
Who comes up with the idea? Does Alex come in and tell you what to do, or do you just kind of wing it? Does it the team wing it?
Yeah, he gives a lot of direction for what he wants, like with the covers and with the articles and like the theme. And then we kind of find stories and come up with ideas for the imagery, like art pieces. Like we have Heath is our artist, and Justin, he's new, but he's an artist as well, and so we can assign them tasks like we need an octopus with TV screens as the suction cups with a bunch of logos or something, you know. So and they can make that happen.
And how has this operation grown since you've been here, the InfoWars operation?
When they hired us, it was in this, like, it's just been expanding exponentially, apparently, you know. It's I mean, I'm pretty new, but there's been us and then reporters, and you know, it's getting huge, apparently. The cool part about it was, like, the first time we did the magazine, the initial plan was to do like 50,000, and then we'll just distribute around the streets of Austin and it'll be great. And so then somebody was like, well, what about selling it in the store? We printed off another 40,000. And so, I mean, it's everything is just moving quickly, and lots of people are tuning in, and you know, they listen, because Alex is he's powerful in the way he says things, you know.
My name is Russell. I'm the general manager for the magazine here at InfoWars.
Now, tell us a little bit about your job description.
I oversee these guys here in the art department and the graphics, and they put together the ad copy for advertisers, for clients. I make phone calls, and along with some of the other salespeople here, we are responsible for selling the ads and putting the magazine together. So I'm involved in a lot of the operations as far as printing them, getting them delivered, making sure the magazines are meeting deadlines and that kind of thing. So it's a lot of fun, and it's neat to see the process all come together once a month.
What do you like most about your job?
I kind of like Carter said, the freedom, and just really being able to, attack the battlefield of the InfoWar from the print media side. It's kind of cool because Alex has been doing, you know, radio and television, the films, and now with the nightly news. The print product is kind of a new avenue for the whole battlefield, if you will. So it's really cool to be a part of the print project, which is new here in the company as the company's been growing. So it's really cool to see the magazine come out and give that to everybody.
How have you seen this operation grow since you've been here?
Well, like, I was employee number 37, and I don't know, we're like 50 plus now, so I've only been here a few months, but in the process, it's been growing. And with you, in addition to you guys, the reporters, more graphics folks, it's really grown the last few months, and it's exciting to be a part of, you know, the alternative media that's growing. It's a good thing. This department's very creative. Not only do we do the graphics for the magazine, but we do a lot of the graphics for other parts of the websites, for Prison Planet and for InfoWars.com. But I think Alex likes to come back here and hang out. It's definitely one of the creative parts of the building, so I think he really enjoys to come back here and hang out with us, and you know, he tells us what ideas he'd like, and like Carter said, you know, we try to build off of those ideas for him, and it's a lot of fun.
Do you wait for his feedback before you start the artwork, or you know, do you sometimes you take the initiative?
Well, it's a little bit of both. Sometimes we have to take the initiative back here, and then he'll come in and give us an idea and say, hey, I want zombies, or I want a pyramid with skulls on the bottom, or he'll come up with some crazy idea about robots or something to that effect. But he'll generally give us an idea, and then we go from there, and then the artists put the stuff together.
My name is Molly Maroney, and I am the editor of the InfoWars magazine.
Now tell us a little bit about your job description.
I go through the online articles and pick and choose which ones I think would be most appropriate for the month and that we can either beef up or add to. And I go to the writers and talk to them about that, as well as talking with Alex about the original articles he wants for the magazine and coordinating that with the authors. And I also help Carter in laying out and getting all of the art and creating the art for the magazine and putting it together, making sure it goes out on time.
Now, what is it like working with Alex? What type of a boss? What type of, you know, creatively, how is he?
Alex is a really creative person and actually pretty talented at art. He'll come in and sketch something up sometimes or give us great ideas to go off of and explains his vision for that month in great detail. And it allows us to just kind of understand where he's going with the magazine and take that. And then it gives us the freedom to create all different types of art without his approval. And then we'll have a meeting and show him everything we've done and get his feedback from it.
What do you enjoy most about your job?
I like the autonomy and freedom it provides. I pretty much go about my day doing whatever I think I need to be doing without somebody watching over me and checking in on me. And I get to make decisions and then just approve them with Alex as time goes by.
A lot of freedom.
Lots of freedom. Can't beat freedom.
Found here at the water cooler, none other than Dan Badondi himself. Dan, how are you?
Fine. How are you, Dave?
Dan, how have you enjoyed working here so far at InfoWars?
Oh, I love it. I got a great team here. It's awesome people. Yourself, Jakari, John Baum behind the camera, Christy holding the light. I mean, it's a great team. I love working with Alex. I can't say enough about it.
What do you enjoy most about this job?
The challenge. I mean, we know our jobs, but every day is a different adventure because, you know, the globalists are constantly flooding us with all kinds of propaganda, flooding us with all tyranny. So our job changes by the day. I mean, we got to come up with new ways and better ways to fight tyranny.
Now, a lot of people might not know, but aside from being a reporter, you do other things. What are some of the other things you do here at the InfoWar?
Well, I'm also a producer for Alex Jones' radio show, and I was a talk show host back in Rhode Island and hope to be one day here on InfoWars.com as well. And I do a lot of other things behind the scenes. I get reports together. I do research, analysis, and many other things. And whatever I'm needed around the office, I help out. I help produce the InfoWars Nightly News as well. And either if I'm not in front of the camera, I'm always behind it. So either way, I'm involved with something.
Is there anything, any last thing you'd like to say to the viewers who are watching the Money Bomb right now?
Definitely, we need your support because we need to grow our operation. And people think, oh, it's just another scam to get your money. No, it isn't, folks. The money goes, as you've seen the tour that Dave just gave you, the money goes to fund the operation. It doesn't cost little pennies to operate a foundation, you know, operation like this. So we need money to expand the InfoWars. We need money to reach out to folks like yourself. We need money to make new documentary films. We need money to reach out to more people on the InfoWars Nightly News, the radio show, and so on. We want to expand the radio show. We want to expand the Nightly News, but we can't do that. I mean, it costs thousands of dollars just to send a reporter halfway across the country to cover a story. So the money goes to a good cause, folks, and I appreciate your support. And whatever you could donate, $5, whatever you want, you get a free gift on some donations, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com.
Thanks, Dan. And there up on the wall, you see there's an InfoWars.com piece of wood. And throughout this section here, you're going to see that there's
other posters as well. We'll read those in a second. But if you come over here, you'll see that there are little designs of different characters. And the reason why is we're going to build, from what I'm told, a Hollywood-like studio where we will be doing film reviews and things of that nature. So we recently ordered some designs of fictitious characters, and that'll be placed up in the studio. This poster over here says, "Quiet, know your place, and shut your face." A message from the Ministry of Homeland Security. Gardening victory over tyranny.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. It is 6:35, or now 6:36 Central Standard Time, 7:36 Eastern. I guess that would be 4:36 Pacific, 5:36 Mountain. Blasting out all over the world right now. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. Quite frankly, I would just like to have the sponsorship and the products to be able to fully fund the expansion of this operation. And we could do that if I added a lot more ads and live air plugs, which permeates talk radio now, just absolutely destroys it. So we have a lot less on-air live plugging than most talk shows out there. And I'm not blaming them. We're in a depression. And so talk radio is trying to stay alive, and it's doing better than print and a lot of even internet stuff because it is free form. It's open. It's a very important form of communication for the people of the United States and worldwide, for that matter. And that's why the system wants to bring back the fairness doctrine and shut it down. But I have made the decision with my family, with my wife, about a year ago to not just have myself on the nightly news, but to get a bunch of reporters, researchers, editors, and to basically take backup money we had for the company. Because most companies have 6 months backup if they're really healthy. We took most of that 6 months backup and put it into the expansion. Because the whole New World Order is coming down. The banks are imploding by design. I read during the main show today, mainstream articles about Joseph Stiglitz, Nobel Prize winner for economics, saying that it is a depression in Europe and a global depression. I mean, we know all this already. It's just that now it's being admitted. And they've got the checkpoints on the highways with the army now. And all of it's coming true. And the 1.6 billion bullets. And I'm sitting there going, wow, you were really right about all this. But I'm not patting myself on the back. I mean, the globalists said they would do all this. But sometimes you kind of feel crazy when Nightline or 60 Minutes is calling you crazy, even though you've got all the clips and documents and their admissions, and they're saying, this crazy thinks a world government's being set up by megabanks. Ha, 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 you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And now it's like megabanks run the world. They've conquered you and your family. We're getting rid of traditional freedom. Being authoritarian is good if it's run by technocratic banks, Newsweek, Time Magazine, Financial Times of London. I mean, hundreds of publications. Hundreds. Just world government in your face. It knows best. And I saw an article today in what ABC News, also Huffington Post picked it up, where here in Texas, of all places. In fact, guys, will you print that for me? It's actually, I sent it to Paul Watson as a text about an hour ago. It's right here, and then I never got it printed out and all the mayhem going on in here. Let me find Watson here. Yeah, please post. You guys can even show my phone right here. Students suspended after seeing teacher's topless photo on iPad video. And it's admitted they had school iPads doing their work. Her phone synced to it, because she was been doing stuff on those iPads with her lesson plans, and they saw stuff she was sending to her boyfriend, and they said, doesn't matter. You saw it. You're all expelled. I mean, folks, that's the craziness. And I heard talk radio locally this afternoon when I went out for a jog during my break when Mike Adams, the health ranger of naturalnews.com, was kind enough to come in. I was listening to it on the iPhone while I was out there. But driving over there to go jogging with Richard Reeves, who went with me, I heard the people going, well, I guess, you know, the policy says no pornography, and they saw it. So they're overturning jurisprudence, common sense, that, you know, if you see your neighbor run outside and pull their pants down, you're not part of the indecent exposure. It's like Monsanto infects your crops with their GMO, because plants don't have just one mommy and one daddy. You know, it can be 1% their GMO crop. with BT corn or whatever it is, soybeans, you name it, and then they come after you. We're going to go to our guest. He's with us about 15 minutes in the next hour. Then Webster Griffin Tarpley joins us. And then for 2 hours, wow, I'm excited about it. George Norrie of CoastToCoastAM.com has been kind enough to grace us with his presence. And I say that because he's in big demand, TV host, radio host, second biggest radio host in the world after Rush Limbaugh. He's almost closing on Limbaugh. And to get him on air for an hour is hard to do. 2 hours, very, very, very nice of him. We're looking forward to that. Great job, the producers, Chris Alanis, everybody out there, the whole InfoWars crew, and you, the listeners. You, the listeners, we couldn't have done any of this without you. And, you know, we've raised $400,000-something before. I said, hey, let's go for $1 million this year. Let's go 2 days instead of 24 hours. Sounds like a lot of money. It's not when you're buying TV equipment. We buy the least expensive stuff, and I'm pulling my hair out. You know, $50,000, $30,000 switchers. I need to buy $150,000 ones, and they're still going to have problems. I mean, it's just, I'm not going to bash the stuff we've got, but I've tried to do it, prosumer. It's not going to work. So I got some expense, $150,000 sweatshirt I need to buy, maybe $100,000. I've got a satellite uplinks I got to pay for and a bunch of other stuff. It'll just really help us do that going into this depression. I'm going to do it regardless. It's just if we get into a bind next year or something, we could be, you know, overextended and psh, gone. But then maybe I can come on air and beg then if that ever, you know, gets in that position. Who knows, though? So everybody's getting prepared. We need to get prepared with extra capital in the war chest for this war. This is a war, too, by the way. We're risking our lives here. And I just want to thank all of you that have spread the word about the transmission. It's got, I don't know, 40 hours left or so. It's going to go right through to Saturday morning. Incredible guest roster at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Please go and donate today. Be part of history. And I haven't even plugged in. I meant to put one of them on. We're going to Mr. Hagman here, who was gracious to come on short notice. This is going to be an open phones hour, but I wanted to get him on, and we're running a little bit behind. Will you guys run out there real quick and get me one of the special edition? I think they only printed 500 of these. And I forget. I think you donate like $100, $200. I forget. It's at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. And you get a camouflage green T-shirt, really nice, with orange on it. And I don't know what it is with the ladies. The ladies go crazy when they see this. It's like a bass lure or something. I'm not joking around. We also have the matching hat. But the point is, it says Liberty or Death on top, Money Bomb 2012. And it's a limited edition. And there are those... there are those T-shirts, and then that's it. So InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com to donate. Okay, I want to go to Doug Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Network here. Oh, here we have one of them. There you go. If you're watching on the free streams, tell people about the free video streams at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Help us with the buzz, which is already quite substantive, to get this out to everybody. Liberty or Death, Money Bomb 2012. You know, you never know the zeitgeist, and you can get those at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com when you donate. The InfoWars zeitgeist, the zeitgeist period, when Aaron and Paul Watson a year and a half ago went to Bilderberg, they had 3.5 million views on a Justin TV account of little live reports they did. And we didn't even really promote it, had 3.5 million views. This year I went with Aaron and others, we only had like 1 million. That's still incredible. You know, on top of the radio show, millions a day. I mean, CNN's big shows don't even have 1 million viewers an hour. So it was big. So you never know what hits the zeitgeist. This is starting to. Our servers are laboring. We may have to use some of the Justin TV or some of the others as an emergency backups if our bandwidth can't handle it. Because we're expending money, thousands of dollars an hour right now, just to be able to even put out a video feed free to everybody. So InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, ladies and gentlemen. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. You can donate by buying books, videos, T-shirts, all of it. ProPure water filters discounted. Okay, you can tell I'm energized after being off for 2 hours. Let's go to Doug Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Network, HomelandSecurityUS.com, for the next 30 minutes or so, joining us. Because I had a caller today on the show. He said, hey, Doug Hagman was on a couple months ago on your nightly news, and he said the October surprise would be, well, there's talk from his Homeland Security sources that they're planning to stage riots and things if Obama doesn't win. And that's the false flag to bring in the tyranny. And then we know about the 1.6 million bullets, the military saying they're getting ready for civil unrest. Now they've had police departments respond and say, well, we're not really preparing for that right now, which is pure bull. Because in other press releases, they're admitting they're getting ready for civil unrest in November. They're not saying it's the election. Maybe it's an Iran strike. That's big in the news today. They're shutting down for the first time the Iranian Press TV TV network on European satellites. They didn't do that all the other saber-rattling times. They got three aircraft carriers massing. I mean, they're saying they may hit them. So there you go. There's already covert war going on there. There's already war, proxy war against the Russians, backing up the Syrians with NATO and al-Qaeda with the U.S. against the Russians and the Syrians. Totally immoral. I'm not saying the Syrian government's good or the Russians are good, but they're not the ones starting to fight and working with al-Qaeda. So they're actually the good guys in this. You know, it's like you got really evil and then corrupt. And it's like our government's the really evil one. So all that's going on. Secret Service aware of threats against Romney. Weekly Standards. Secret Service has confirmed thousands of threats to kill Romney if he wins. This is Drudge and I got criticized. DrudgeReport.com for reporting on this last week. Now it's all confirmed. Yes, it's real. Yes, it's happening. That doesn't stop the White House through their surrogate group, which is, Think Progress and others, openly run by funded by the White House and Soros. Well, White House has advisors in there. Why wouldn't they want to come out and say, no, rioting's wrong? Why would they just say, no, no one's talking about that? So Doug Hagman, from his sources, said this could be the October surprise. Without further ado, he's got the floor here, joining us from his intelligence center, private intelligence center, advising a federal and state police around the country. What is your intel now on this, since you were the first person to warn of it?
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me on. Well, I'll tell you what, we're looking at some form of social uprising, civil unrest based on food, based on, involving food, as well as the elections. Now, we all have seen the open source reports of potential rioting, whether Obama wins or whether he loses. We've seen the threats to Romney. We've seen the economic situation decline rapidly over the past couple of months. I believe, well, from my source, we talked here recently, and he reminded me that, the French peasants stormed the Bastille back in 1789, and they weren't just revolting against the monarchy's policies. They were hungry. And this is part of the situation, according to my source. The cost of food combined with the elections, the chaos with respect to the elections, and perhaps some type of civil or some type of military conflict overseas in the Middle East, whether that be Libya now or Syria. Not so much Iran, but Syria or Libya. All of these things combined are combining now to make a perfect storm. And according to my source, the DHS is on defense right now, and it's very quiet, unusually quiet right now. So it's always quiet, obviously, before some type of operation. They're looking at perhaps having to play defense against a civil uprising, against riots, against people that are hungry. So all of these things are potentially possible.
And this is directly from your sources. By the way, for viewers out there who didn't see you come and sit in the seat and don't know that it's an anti-TSA sign, because it's cut off by you sitting in front of it. People that are ignorant would think it was your pro-SS, a Stunstaffel. No. Just tell folks what's behind you.
Yeah, actually, these are two posters that were made for us by a company. It's an anti-TSA poster.
No, I understand with the A block, people will just know the armed SS Stunstaffel symbol.
Yeah, actually, this is a poster protesting the TSA policies, and of course the other one is the poster with respect to protesting the FEMA camps or alerting people to the FEMA camps. Actually, these are posters that were redone by a company that owns the rights to the World War II images.
Yeah, they're very, very powerful. I've seen those at gun shows. Great people. In fact, if you remember the name of the company, feel free to plug it. I knew him right when I saw him, but then I knew the Time magazine would say, with a man with SS runes behind him, Jones began to worship Hitler. The extremism was incredible. In fact, they've already taken me talking about them, the people saying they're going to kill Romney. They've already taken that and edited it out on YouTube. I was already sent it this morning, where they have me reading the tweets, and they're now saying I'm saying it, and I'm sure the Secret Service will probably show up. I mean, I tell you. But let's continue here. I mean, you're the real deal, because I've checked it out. You've got these sources, and they're confirming what my sources are saying. And then some have said, well, that's just hype, that they're saying get ready for something, huge in November. Sure, they always tell you know, the police and counterterrorism people that. But I've never seen such chatter and real digging in. Let's hope this all blows by. But you know, it's kind of like saying, you're always saying they're going to hit Iran. They're in Iran. There's already military operations in Iran. There's military operations in Syria. It just hasn't been openly, you know, called a war yet. Same thing here. We're already seeing food prices explode. We're already seeing more and more little riots here and there and racial attacks and things. It's in the news. It's just not in the national news.
And you've done a great job of pointing all of this out. Of course, you know, the Syrian situation is extremely, extremely important. People have to know, they have to understand that we are fighting a proxy war against Russia. People have to understand why Stevens was murdered in Benghazi.
What's your intel on that?
Okay, and this is 100%. Verified. It's been vetted. Stevens was there. Stevens had on speed dial all the numbers for the good guys and all the numbers for the bad guys, basically.
That's what I heard, is they wanted those documents.
Exactly. And Stevens was there not to capture caches of weapons and destroy them. Stevens was there to funnel the weapons from Benghazi, or assist to facilitate the weapons funneling from Benghazi to Derna up into Turkey. And that includes the non-conventional chemical type of weapons for use by the U.S.-backed al-Qaeda forces or the U.S.-backed rebels.
To false flag blame Syria. Wow. Exactly. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's why, that is why they use this inane video as an excuse, as a cover for so long, because frankly, according to my source, military source, they could not get their act together.
It looked like a professional takeover. So what's the real bottom line from your sources? Who took them out?
A professional team paid for and facilitated by the Russians. Now, exactly who? Not sure.
Oh, so no wonder. That's what I've been getting from some sources, too. Yeah. No wonder they want to cover all this up, because, you know, now it's the proxy war isn't just in the Syrian sandbox.
Yeah, and if you remember, 90 minutes before he was killed, Stevens was meeting with the Turkey consulate general in Benghazi. They could have met if it was a diplomatic meeting.
And the Russians now want to know who to kill. That's why we're seeing other people backing the al-Qaeda invasion of Syria, other ambassadors being killed, and the heads of embassies being killed. They now know who to kill.
Exactly. This whole thing was...
Doug, you just really impressed me, because I already had that from two high-level sources, but didn't want to say it because I didn't want to take the heat. And you just told something that no one else, I haven't even heard in the news.
Well, you know, that's the information I received. It's coming from a very credible source.
Recap it all. I've been interrupting. Start at the beginning.
No, it's fine. Ambassador Stevens, who worked at the Iran desk in the CIA during his early part of his career, he developed a list of contacts, both good and bad. The good guys and the bad guys. They're all terrorists, basically, whether they're working for us or them. He was really running out of his usefulness as a covert operative in the CIA. So he was making the switch to a position of diplomacy. However, his final operation was to go to Libya and meet with very and set up the operation to funnel the weapons in Libya that Gaddafi had, the non-conventional weapons specifically, chemical weapons, from Benghazi to Derna, from Derna up into Turkey, you know, for distribution in Syria to the U.S.-backed rebels in Syria for a false flag operation. Russia told the State Department, told Obama, look, don't do this. Do not do this. And sent the Turkish consulate to talk to Stevens to warn him off. Stevens says, look, we're not going to do it. No, we're going to keep doing what we got to do. I'm getting orders. We have to keep doing what we're doing. Hence the hit, the professional hit on Stevens. Once again, we are fighting a proxy war against Russia, paid for or at the behest of the globalists. Syria is Russia's red line in the sand. Syria does not want to lose Russia, because once they lose Russia, you can see where the entire southern Federation of the Russian states would be in danger of.
It's their only port in the Mediterranean. They've always backed them, and now it's confirmed. They said it a month ago. It was confirmed. Top Russian general, special forces general, was killed. Yeah. I mean, yeah, but think about this. You've got the Russians with the moderate Assad government that's not perfect, but was, you know, not attacking anybody, with NATO, Turkey, the United States, and others in there with Al-Qaeda. That's even in the New York Times finally this week, as you know, on Monday. With shoulder-fired missiles, high-tech radar-guided, you know, they're shooting down helicopters, heat-seekers. I mean, I'm told the TSA needs to stick their hands down my pants because Al-Qaeda may be hiding in there, but our government let them have 10,000 missiles, 2,000 of them heat-seeking or radar-guided, and then now our government is publicly backing Al-Qaeda against the Russians, and they've reportedly, what's the intel you've got on how many Spetsnaz are in there?
I nothing specific on that, but we do know that they're present, they're active, and you know, they're angry. How's that for a perfect storm? I don't have numbers. I just have the fact that they're present. So I mean, look, Alex, this World War III is going to start not in Iran, but in Syria. This is the fuse for World War III has been lit, in my personal opinion, based on my contacts, what they're telling me about this.
You know what's scary? The Bible says that's where it'll all start.
Yeah. Death raised Damascus.
Yeah. I mean, but I mean, what about, I've talked to a lot of police and military, and they are shook up by the fact that, wow, Al-Qaeda publicly working for the bankers. It's not even our government. It's the bankers, internationalists. But I mean, now this is really waking people up. That even ABC News is saying there may be a October surprise, you know, for the election. I mean, all the things we've talked about are now mainstream more and more. But they think the public's so dumb, and in some extents they are, that they're using Al-Qaeda publicly to attack all these countries. I mean, it's just despicable.
It's horrendous. I mean, if we think about it, it's very difficult to really wrap your brain around, you know, speaking with the general public, because it's hard to really digest and to really comprehend this, but this is the globalist agenda. This is all about money. You've been saying this for years. I mean, Steve Quayle's been saying this, you've been saying this, and a lot of people have been turned off by it until they're seeing this happen right now. And I got to tell you, it's happening right now. And with respect to the DHS and domestic situations, Alex, I got to tell you, we are in trouble. Now, a lot of people might think that, hey, if the elections go off without a hitch, there's not going to be a problem. My DHS source was telling me, look, don't hang your hat on dates, timelines necessarily. It's coming. It's coming. It's just a fluid operation. Plans change. The objectives don't.
And let's recap. The plan is the Obama controllers are planning some type of false flag. That's what your source is, NDHS, directly watching the witches, as we call them, the group of female queenies that run everything up there, that they're cackling that, you know, don't worry, you haven't seen our tricks yet. And what scares me is criminals brag. We've seen all these top Obama advisors in newspapers and in fundraising letters, you know, saying, don't worry, we'll have a new Oklahoma or 9/11 to blame people. And now we see the TV shows coming out on ABC and NBC, the dramas where the patriots are the terrorists. So I even see the media conditioning, and we know they do that through the sitcoms and dramas and cop shows as they put the message out. That's now been admitted with federal funding. I mean, this is creepy. This is Creepville. I mean, I don't think they're going to succeed, though, when they try this. I mean, this is incredible.
Well, their greatest enemy is an informed populace. And so what you're doing right now over the next 48 hours or 40 plus hours remaining is tremendous. As long as people understand that we're being played for fools here. And you know, right now Al-Qaeda is being used by both sides, essentially, but propped up through the United States. Domestically here, we're looking at, it's a mathematical certainty that the economy has got to fall. Our dollar has got to collapse. We've got to see this.
By the way, let me just back you up. Former U.S. comptroller says U.S. faces fiscal abyss. AP, Reuters, you name it. Nobel Prize winner for economics, you know, says there's a global depression. Stiglitz, based around Europe. I mean, I've got stacks. The thing is, we've already known this, and it's a mathematical certainty for 5-6 years. They are now admitting it. What does that tell you? They don't start admitting stuff until they want to say, see, we knew. I mean, please continue.
Well, now with respect to that, according to my source, the condition for this collapse has been created, and also the solution. If we recall back in the end of August, we saw the G20 summit,
yes,
the emergency G20 summit. They already created a basket of currencies intended to replace the U.S. dollar,
SDR, and yeah, right, end of the dollar. Yeah,
that's right. So again, this coming from my source saying, look, watch this. Again, the timeline is a little bit fluid. It's going to happen. We're going to see riots, caused by the social chaos and by people hungry. So policies and hunger are going to be driving the social rioting and chaos that we're going to see that will allow the DHS and TSA to come in here, implement travel restrictions, essentially martial law. That's what we're looking at in the near future. From there, it's anyone's guess.
We've only got about 10 minutes left with you. Hopefully sometime during the 48-hour transmission through Saturday morning, we can have you back on or back sure. on next week or maybe Sunday on the official radio show. But, I mean, look, folks, I'm not just up here saying this. Doug's not up here just saying this. This is everything we've talked about is now manifesting. We saw it over the horizon. Now it's on our street. It's across the street from us. This is now not a joke. And I want to just tell police, military, and everybody else something. I'm your friend. The public, I'm your friend. I just want freedom and prosperity in America. The globalists are the enemy. And they are going to stage false flags, you name it. They want to get us in a civil war. Look, you don't want that. I don't want that. I mean, they really are ruthless. And they've done this in Russia. They've done it in Germany. They've done it in China. The globalists have done this. They brag on the IMF World Bank documents that Joseph Stiglitz, when he left the World Bank in 2002, how they implode economies, want people to riot, want governments to fall, and then people beg for tyranny after that. This is a major social engineering operation, and this is the end of America if we let them do this. This is world government announced by these mega banks, these criminals. And now even Obama and the mega banks are fighting with the hedge fund hyenas. That's when you know you're in trouble, is when the elites in the Anglo-American Western establishment are fighting with each other. What's your information on that?
I've got information that there's a quiet war, if you will, between the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, where one is claiming, dominion over the other, or that they're fighting for this dominion. Whereas now it's the Rothschilds that appear to be controlling the agenda. Alex, I don't even know if I'm correct on that. I'm just relating what I've heard. So, you're more the expert in that venue. I don't know if that sounds correct, but
Actually, what happened 3 months ago was they called it a merger. The Rothschilds took over the Rockefellers' interest because they were Rothschild agents but became their own operatives for a while. And that's the info we've got. In fact, there was even a London Independent article about how they're the richest people in the world, the Rothschilds. They lost a suit claiming they weren't. They said, don't say we are, but then it came out they were and had all these puppets, basically. But that was actually in all the major news that anybody can type it. Rothschilds and Rockefellers merge. Well, no, they didn't merge. It was the European elite is fully taking America over. The center of this new world order is Europe. That doesn't mean the Europeans are our enemy. People say, Alex, no, how dare you say the British Empire is the model for world government, you anti-Brit. Hey, man, my name's Jones, okay? I mean, most of my ancestors are from England. It's not like I'm just, the British people have been used with their strength and ingenuity to empower the Rothschild system.
Yeah, and you're exactly correct. And now that gives me some context from which my source had given this information. So yeah, and it's openly reported. And that I think this is something now where if we use this, all this open source reporting, all of what's going on right now, everyone, the globalists, they're becoming more brazen. Their masks are coming off. The objectives appear to be closer at hand than ever before. So, whether or not something happens in the next 10 days or 20 days or, a month, it's going to happen.
Yeah, this is economic warfare. It's the 21st century takeover model backed up with military force.
Yes, exactly. And we are products, or we are owned by the banks, as you often say, the six major banks. This is a fact, and it's coming down. Look, there's nothing more than the Department of Homeland Security would want to see right now. And I say this not the boots on the ground, but the upper echelon. than the social chaos. Because remember, back in the 1992 L.A. riots, Rodney King riots, six-day period, there was 53 people that were killed, over 2,000 people injured, and $1 billion in property damage. Just think about that in every major city all across America, and even spreading into rural
America. They call that the IMF riot in the documents that came out when Stiglitz quit. He says he didn't release them. Nobel Prize winner. Yeah, right. But the point is that he's been on the show. They call it the IMF riot. It's a 112-point plan, but one of the first points is they want the collapse, exactly what your source is telling you.
Exactly. I mean, and there's really there's no other way. And let's throw FEMA camps in here, or refugee centers in here. Where are people, the people who are unprepared, where are they going to go to get food? They're hungry. You go to a FEMA camp or refugee center or a center where they'll give you food. What are you going to have to give in exchange for the food?
Well, your guns. But it's worse than that. As you know, we saw New Orleans and other disasters as the model. They leave all the poor people just to starve or whatever and order the troops in to high and dry, literal $10 million, $15 million houses. Anybody that hadn't seen the news, just type in gun confiscation New Orleans into YouTube. And they went to the, because I've got an architecture book that showed those houses. That's how I knew. You know, those houses that look like the White House.
Yeah.
Used to be one of the richest cities in the country, New Orleans, still is to a certain extent, but it was rivaling New York for a while, 100 years ago or more. These are giant mansions, and they would blow the safes open and steal their guns and handcuff the owners. And it's on the news. So the problem is they're going to try to send out the troops to areas where we've got generators, we've got food, we've got guns, we're fine. We got tents. We're having a holiday here, and they're going to take our stuff, bro. Do the police realize at a certain point this won't be like New Orleans and places like Texas and stuff? People aren't going. I mean, everybody I know, you try to take me to some FEMA camp, boy, you got a problem. And we're not looking for a fight, but you better not push it.
No, you're exactly right. And according to my source, look, he's in contact with, he has access to the high level DHS sources, but he's also in contact with boots on the ground. The boots on the ground are a little bit more, they know what's going on. They're not liking it. Some, or I would say the majority, understand that this is the entire situation is wrong. However, you know, how many of those people are going to follow orders like we saw in New Orleans? The best advice I could give from my source is this, if and when they come for the guns, make sure you're not alone, and certainly stand your ground, because of all things, we saw in New Orleans, so the South, the gun belt, the Bible belt, those people had given up their guns willingly with little fight. That was incredible. That was like a litmus test, a beta test for what was to come. And they learned a lot from that.
Well, I mean, my issue is the globalists love it if we get in a civil war, but it's a legal order. Your guns are yours even more in an emergency. That's what it's for, and it's illegal. I don't care if you get some order from some criminal president, whatever, to try to get our guns. That is, I'm going to tell the police military something. I know you know this, guys listening. But listen to me. I know they've hired a lot of career officers that are globalists and stuff now, but I want to tell them something too. Listen, they want a civil war to destroy you and damage you so they can bring in the I-4 NATO troops. That's in NLE 09, NLE 010. I've seen NLE 011 that nobody's supposedly been able to see because they stopped releasing them after NLE 010, a national level exercise. If they give you that order, they are trying to start a civil war, and it's a way to execute you. That's like Emperor Palpatine in Revenge of the Sith executing Order Number 66, but they want to wipe you out, sending you against the American people, taking out two of their enemies. Their own documents say their number one enemy is returning veterans and gun owners. They hate people that are armed and trained and in the government more than anybody. That's why they've got this double narrative of, oh, the police and military are great, but they're the biggest enemy, because they know you can stop them. They're afraid if things get really dark of a military counter coup. And so that's why you see the double message there, so they can flip narratives, flip the script anytime they want. Listen, even if you say on the radio, okay, moving forward to get the guns, don't do it. Because let me tell you, you may get the first few hundred houses, resistance will start mounting. So I'm just saying, don't stick your hand in the badger hole.
Well, I couldn't agree more. That is absolutely great advice to the law enforcement officers. And, you know, I think, boy, I'll tell you, Alex, I have a fear. I fear the day that operation starts, because there will be blood in the streets. And I got to tell you, I was at a gun show last weekend. to the person, every person I talked to there, I talked to like 15, 14 people, every person walked out of there with ammunition or an extra gun. And they were sober. We're not talking about, you know, we're talking about average citizens with concern in their voice and knowledge that something is not right. Every person walked out of there with ammunition or a gun. Every person said, look, there's something wrong. There's something brewing. It was a totally different environment. 26 years before I went to my first gun show, there they were talking about deer stands and making deer jerky and venison. Today they're talking about repelling riots. It was just an incredible change to this morphing over 2.5 decades.
Unbelievable. We need to give out your website. It's the great information, HomelandSecurityUS.com, HomelandSecurityUS.com, no affiliation with Homeland Security. But I didn't read your bio at the beginning. Douglas J. Hagman is a founder and director of the Northeast Intelligence Network, CEO of a multi-state licensed private investigative agency serving many Fortune 500 clients. We're going to get you on some time about the cases that have been in the news. You can talk about some of the great investigations you've done. It's just really interesting radio. A 27-year veteran conducting investigations in the private sector has logged over 50,000 hours of covert surveillance in his career as the author of Tactical Surveillance. He's a member of the International Counterterrorism Officers Association and possesses many law enforcement-related training certifications. He is used as a operational asset by the U.S. Department of Justice, the FBI, as well as the Pennsylvania and New York State police agencies. I won't go through your 8,000 criminal investigations or any of it, but HomelandSecurityUS.com. Doug, we'll talk to you again soon, obviously, in the next 20 days or 19 days ahead of the election. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, folks, it is a sick feeling to sit here and know we've been right about all this. It's horrible. I mean, it is a sick feeling that the show is exploding. It is a sick feeling that everybody's desperately waking up now to a certain extent because it means we were right about everything. But it's also a good feeling on the other side to know, well, at least some people are getting ready and understanding what's happening. That's why you're getting dug in. You're getting ready. We've got to also offensively try to wake up as many as we can. You got to have defense and offense, not just offense or defense. And, you know, I get the death threats. I get the dirty tricks. I don't even talk about on air. I've been physically attacked, you name it. And, you know, I'm committed to this. I'm not saying I'm some hero. Folks, I'm not going under authoritarian world government rule with a bunch of control freaks running my life. I mean, it isn't going to happen. And I'm angry about it. That's why I get angry, because I'm not backing down. And that makes me even more angry at these people. Why are they ruining our lives? Why are they demanding and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing? Because they're a bunch of crazy bankers trying to show off to each other offshore in big palaces with armed guards all around them, like Marie Antoinette in the French Revolution. There's tens of thousands starving outside and they say, hey, they need food. And she says, let them eat cake. They're asking for bread. Let them eat cake as a joke. And you know what happened to her? And the problem is the bankers are going to sit offshore and use all the poor people against the middle class and let them eat cake on us. And it's sick. It is sick. We're going to go to break, come back with Dr. Webster Tarpley, an economist and historian. Speaking of the police state and conditioning, this is Jakari Jackson's. He's got a bunch of great reports going to be airing, but this is his review of Judge Dredd. We'll be back with Webster Griffin Tarpley. I'm Alex Jones. Thank you for joining us. I hope we can avert this by exposing it. That is what will expose it. You see, if we can back this off, they'll say, oh, there was never a threat, Alex, you know. But if we don't stop it, Katie barred the door. But I know we're in a depression. I know it's hard to donate. But in fact, people that can't donate, people that aren't doing, you know, okay, I don't want you donating. It's not like some preacher saying, give me your last, you know, bag of beans, the widow's mite. If you're a business person, if you're doing all right, despite all the globalist activities, then pay it forward, donate so we can expand our operations. We've hired, I don't know, like 20 people last year, 6, 7, 8 months, and we're hiring a few more editors and we're done. But the point is we're trying to give our full fight. I'm like, hey, I'm not going to sit here with half measures. I've already, you know, had a major effect against the globalists. And I'm going all the way. I mean, it's like, hey, you know what? All in, all in, all in. Boom. I mean, it's really that simple. I'm out here at the very tip of the spear, and all we're saying is make us stronger so we can do more. Buy the books, the videos, the water filters, the donate, whatever you're going to do, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or 888-253-3139. And if you think, you know, your donations or buying books and videos somewhere else will do better, do it. You know, donate somewhere else or buy something from some other patriot. Just vote with your dollars. Man, I smell some of that good root of my coffee. I'm going to go get some of that, and we'll be right back with Webster Tarpley straight ahead. Stay with us.
Judge Joseph Dredd has come to the screens once again, this time the adaptation simply titled Dredd. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News. Let's analyze this trailer to find the fact behind the fiction of this new film. Spoiler alert.
You know how often we get a judge up in peace treaties? Well, you got one now.
The Judge Dredd storyline takes place in 2070, after war has devastated the majority of the United States, leaving only a few large sections of land known as megacities inhabitable.
800 million people living in the ruin of the old world.
Megacities are full of cramped skyscrapers that house the city's population.
Agenda 21 highlights include the destruction of the family unit in the name of sustainable development, with people being forced to live in tight, compact cities and high-rise stack'em and pack'em apartments no bigger than this 16 by 16 foot space.
See any similarities? There, we saw a drone patrolling the city skies. Now, this is probably the least futuristic aspect of the entire trailer, mainly because there are drones patrolling the U.S. skies right now. It wasn't long ago that it was said that drones in the U.S. would be unarmed, but even relatively small law enforcement agencies have been able to secure them for their own purposes.
This one's even designed to carry weapons.
You'd have a stun baton where you can actually engage somebody.
Let's take a look now at a judge's uniform. Black, heavy armor, with a helmet that doubles as a mask. Back in 1977, when Judge Dredd first debuted, it was considered science fiction for police to dress like this. Now, in cities such as Colorado Springs, it's standard issue. Also, take note of a judge's lawgiver, a biometric firearm that can only be fired by its designated user, a modification that the New Jersey Institute of Technology has been developing for years. Now, it's important to point out that even though judges are charged with executing, quote, law, they are not police. Judges came into power at the end of the 21st century when they overthrew the U.S. Constitution. But I'm sure nothing like that could ever happen in our time.
And I've told my administration, we're going to look every single day to figure out what we can do without Congress. What can we do without them?
Do I think that our actions in any way violate the War Powers Resolution? The answer is no. So I don't even have to get to the constitutional question.
Now, I'm not saying that Carl Urban, the writer, the directors, or anybody else involved in this film is purposely pushing a police state agenda. I'm just saying that this film is a great example of what a police state can be. And as you've seen from this short video, we are not very far from it. Now, here's a good spoiler for all you fanboys out there. At the end of the film, Dredd kills the movie's villain, Mama, by throwing her from the top of a 200-story building.
The sentence is death.
Dredd has already been released in the UK and is set for release here in the States at the end of September. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News.
I'm the law.
InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. We just expanded next door. We're coming for the New World Order.
It's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world.
Here's freedom.
InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com to read our mission and to see the amazing roster of guests we've got lined up sharing their insights on liberty and resistance to tyranny. I got involved in radio and TV as well as filmmaking 17 years ago. Because I didn't like the direction I saw our country and our world going in. The attacks on basic freedoms like the Second Amendment, the move towards collectivism in the nanny state. And over the last decade and a half, InfoWars.com and my radio show and the films have become really part of the core resistance to tyranny worldwide. It seems like yesterday, but it was more than 5 years ago. And I was sitting in my small office of about 3,000 square feet and realized that we were already reaching millions of people a week and that we had a responsibility to expand our operations in the face of the globalist. It was listeners 5 years ago that demanded we have a money bomb and expand our operations. We've gone from less than 10 crew members to more than 50 today. 5 years ago, I was reaching about 3 million people a week. Now it's 15 million a week conservatively. Imagine what will happen if you just tell one person a day about InfoWars.com or our news reports that are online. Imagine what will happen if you donate just $5 or $10 to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and allow us to go to the next level and put the nightly news out on free-to-air satellite worldwide. No, that one action won't save the world, but it will trigger brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere that will bring down the globalist and restore humanity on the right path of justice and liberty and a level playing field. We have a choice: the globalist dark age of control freak technocracy or 1776 worldwide. This October 18th and 19th, from Thursday morning right through into Saturday morning, it's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world. I'll see you live with the free video and audio streams emanating from PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. I'm Alex Jones, defending liberty, resisting tyranny. And we are back, and for the next 45 minutes, we're joined by Webster Griffin Tarpley, and then we've got for about an hour and 50 minutes, running a little bit late, we're going to have George Norrie, host of CoastToCoastAM.com, close to being the biggest radio show, not in North America, but worldwide. 20 million listeners a week, ladies and gentlemen. Just on terrestrial radio, it's probably 25 million if you count internet and stuff. He is going to be joining us to get into a host of geopolitical issues. We're going to cover a laundry list of news with George Norrie. Webster Tarpley, incredible mind, a doctor of history. He also has a degree in economics. In fact, do I have Tarpley's bio? I never really read that. He's like top of his class, scholar, and just an amazing mind. The Obama deception, seen more than 40 million times, free online. We made it 4 years ago, basically, about three years and three quarters, so close to 4 years. And it's all come true, exactly as Tarpley said. It was like he has a crystal ball. He's joining us now to break down what's happening. We had Greg Palast on earlier. He's got a big article in The Nation out. Mitt Romney's bailout bonanza. And they estimate he got upwards of $100 million off of GM stuff, holding engine parts hostage in a blind trust, they claim. I mean, and I'm not going after Romney or Obama. They're both puppets. My only point is this is all crazy. So I don't even know what Tarpley's going to bring up. I've had so much going on. Whatever it is, I'm sure it's going to be informative. I want his take on the proxy war against the Russians in Syria, where they now in the New York Times on Monday admit we're funding Al-Qaeda, or our government is, giving them weapons. The three aircraft carriers now massing, the first time cutting off press TV in Europe. All this other saber-rattling, they didn't cut off the Iranian state-funded run news agency that, by the way, Tarpley appears on. They ask me to come on all the time. I go on Japanese, you name it, French TV. But I can never go on any of these shows. I'm too busy now. But Tino Tarpley even sometimes goes on there and talks. I've been on there before. I've been on RT. I've been on BBC. I've been on it all. But they're shutting that down. In fact, here's Press TV on it. Ban on Iranian channels exposes EU duplicity towards Iran. Obama signed an executive order saying if you're against even attacking Iran, we're going to take your bank account now. So they're trying to bring in the Sedition Act. In 1 week until U.S. has three aircraft carriers facing Iran. That's InfoWars.com. Iran launched submarine destroyer into Gulf during U.S. naval exercises. Largest U.S.-Israel missile defense drill kickoff. Russia S-400s relocate near Turkey. Hezbollah shifts units, rockets into Syria. That's Debka file. I mean, it is absolute wildness. Commander, if Iran attacked, Israel will be hit. AP. Tarpley, what do you want to get into? The economy or Iran first or the election? I mean, this is just bedlam. The world financial meltdown. Stiglitz says Europe's into depression. Worldwide depression coming. Jobless numbers down again off to the fake numbers. I mean, it's all accelerating. Tarpley, what do you say?
Let's talk about the October surprise. Let's talk about the CIA Mormon mafia and their plans for an October surprise to put Romney into the White House. Now, the first topic I'd like to talk about is Benghazi and what that shows us about what's actually happening behind the scenes in the intelligence community, not this talking points, Democrats, Republicans, Obama, Romney. Then I'd like to go on to say a few words about a very important meeting in New York City on October 27th. If you're sick of Obama, sick of Romney, sick of both parties, sick of all the...
You have the floor, Dr. Tarpley of Tarpley.net.
And that's on October 27th, New York City. It's in Tribeca below Canal Street. the INN World Report Auditorium from noon to 6, and that will be the United Front Against Austerity. But let me talk first of all about Benghazi, because I think this is very interesting to show how the intelligence community is working, in the sense that the ruling elite wants Romney in the White House. The Bilderberg Group, I believe, made a decision in favor of Romney after he came to their meeting. You can see the Federal Reserve, the money from Wall Street. All of this is signaling that they want Romney. So how do they do it? Well, we've had one October surprise already, except we had it in September, and that was Benghazi. Now, there are two sides to this. One is the so-called film. The other is the killing. But these are both important, and they go together. Now, the film is not the killing, and I'm not claiming that at all. But what I'm saying is there was this film, and the Islamophobic film was the subject of demonstrations in 25 countries around the world, in Cairo, in Pakistan, in countries in Europe, all over the Arab world, North Africa, you name it. This was about the film. So what's with the film? The film came out of a little studio in California, and we're asked, first of all, to believe that a guy called Sam Basile created the film. Now, Sam Basile is a little nobody. He's a patsy. He's a drug ex-convict. He's probably a drug informer for the DEA or FBI or something like this. And he took the fall as the guy who created the movie. But if we look at who owns the studio and who signed for the permit and actually how the movie came about, we're led to somebody called Joseph Nasrallah, who is a Coptic Christian. He's the chief executive officer of Media for Christ, a Coptic Christian from Egypt. And it seems to me that's the guy who really made this movie come about. He's had some experience and he has a studio to make that work. Now, if we follow him a little bit, we're led into the midst of the infamous Islamophobia Network. And the Islamophobia Network, people, I think, are familiar with it. It's the group that organized a demonstration and a campaign back in September of 2010 in Ground Zero, right, in Lower Manhattan. They were the big ones campaigning that there should be no mosque and no Islamic community center. Now, Joseph Nasrallah addressed one of those demonstrations, right, that demonstration on September 11th, 2010. This is the network that many associate with Pamela Geller, who's very vocal and very strident, and she's all over the internet. But let me just point you, Nasrallah at that demonstration was on the program with John Bolton. Now, John Bolton is a top neocon. John Bolton is the Romney campaign. We know that Romney is surrounded by these warlike, angry neocons. We have Kagan, we have Dan Senior, we have John Bolton, we have Elliot Cohen, we have Robert Joseph, the guy who put the words in about the Niger yellow cake into the Bush State of the Union address. So there's a whole angry Islamophobic neocon faction. They want to make a comeback. They want to vindicate themselves. They're still humiliated, smarting from the fact that their man Bush was, you know, leaving office with a 22% popularity, the lowest in modern times. They want to come back and vindicate themselves. And since they're neocons, they know only one way to do that, and that is by war. They say we'll have a new successful war of aggression to make people forget about the old war of aggression. They have attached themselves to Romney. I would say if Romney wins the election, there will be U.S. military intervention in Syria by February, March, maybe when the springtime comes and the campaigning season gets better. But when you're dealing with that film, you can see all the Republicans say, no, the film doesn't matter, the film doesn't matter. Well, might they say it, the Romney campaign is heavily implicated in the film. In shorthand on Twitter, we might write, the Romney campaign created the Islamophobic film that started the ball rolling all over the place. Now, when you're planning an operation like this, you need the film to create the atmosphere, right, so that people all around the world can understand what's going on. But now let's switch to the specific operation to kill Ambassador Stevens. Now, unfortunately, Ambassador Stevens was heavily in contact with the terrorist elements, the Salafists, the Wahhabites. In Libya, it's called the Senussi Brotherhood, in that terror corridor, right? Benghazi, Derna, Tobruk. And Derna, of course, is the city that has given more suicide bombers per capita than any other city in the world. He was basically there. He had been there as vice consul before. He was dealing with them in 2008, 2009. And I'm afraid part of his mission was to send these people from Libya to Turkey and then on to Syria, where they are the heart and soul of the rebellion against President Assad. It's precisely terrorist fighters of this type. So I'm afraid that's what he was doing. It's interesting that the last meeting that Ambassador Stevens had, 8:30 in the evening on September 11th local time, he was meeting with a Turkish diplomat. Why would the U.S. ambassador to Libya be meeting with a Turkish diplomat in Benghazi, Libya? Well, if you put together what we know, it's probably the next phase of that airlift and sea lift of those fighters, those terrorists, the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group and people like that, from Libya to Turkey and then across the border into Syria. So there was every reason for Ambassador Stevens in the State Department to think that there was no threat to him because he was on such friendly terms with so many of these militia elements, right? These jihadis. Now, if we want to ask who killed Ambassador Stevens, the answer to that, according to leaks that have been in various British papers and also in the U.S., it is a guy called Kumu. You can look it up. Q-U-M-U or K-U-M-U. Sufyan Kumu. And his group is now called Ansar al-Sharia. They seem to be the ones who sent a well-armed team with mortars and rocket grenades and all the rest to come and kill the U.S. ambassador. Now, Kumu was in Guantanamo Bay for 4 years. He's an alumnus of Guantanamo. I think he's a U.S. double agent, and I think that's pretty much a prima facie case.
That's basically what Steve Pachinik says, and this is almost a replay of when you were on right after this happened, which is fine, but our listeners know you said that.
There's more to add. Let me just continue. Kumu is a U.S. double agent, right? The way you get out of Guantanamo is by becoming a double agent for the rest of your life. Now, that's the attack. Now, what's new from this past week is the defense. Now, last Wednesday, there was a hearing of the ISA committee, Daryl ISA, California, supposedly the richest guy in the Congress. And this was addressed by a bunch of people from the State Department, although he had a guy, the leadoff witness was from the Utah National Guard. Well, if he's from the Utah National Guard, I guess we can have some idea where he stands vis-a-vis Romney, right, given the Mormon domination of the state. But that's not part of the argument. What we had then was a State Department official showing a map of the U.S. facilities in Benghazi from above. And from above, she said, oh, and there were these buildings here. At a certain point, Congressman Jason Chaffetz, lo and behold, another Utah Mormon congressman, goes absolutely berserk. And he starts yelling, point of order, point of order, point of order. You can't show that picture. Take that picture down. It turned out the Chaffetz had been to Benghazi for less than one day, came back an expert, but he said that he had been instructed by everybody on the scene in Benghazi, never, never, never show that picture. And the State Department official said, look, this is from Google. You can get this commercially. This is not classified in the least. And it turned out, as Dana Milbank and others reported in the Washington Post and elsewhere, that what Chaffetz was freaking out about was that there was a special CIA base at the consulate. And the consulate was supposed to be guarded by a 12-man or 12-person CIA rapid response team that would have made a very important difference in the relation of forces. I hope you agree. And they had apparently gone AWOL. And as Dana Milbank wrote in the Washington Post last Thursday, it looks like that the CIA was the organ that was letting Ambassador Stevens down. So there's one layer of security, a CIA team that was there but didn't intervene, and now the CIA is trying to cover up that they exist in the first place. Now there's another element. One of the backup layers of security is the so-called 17th of February Martyrs Brigade. And they actually had a barracks in the compound, just as the CIA did, pretty much, 17th of February Martyrs Brigade had their barracks there, and they also ran away. They were nowhere to be found. Now, who's the 17th of February Martyrs Brigade? We got to go back so we can know them by their deeds. Last year in Libya, there was a struggle for power of the Libyan military. On the one side, you had this guy, Yunus. Yunus had been a general in the Gaddafi army. He had defected from Gaddafi in the springtime of last year, gone to Benghazi, and been made, he'd been acclaimed as the new boss of the Libyan armed forces. Okay, so he was sort of the in-country candidate to be the dominant general. But the U.S. had sent in another guy called Khalifa Hifter, or Haftar, H-I-F-T-E-R usually, or H-A-F-T-E-R. And Hifter had written in a book in French that he'd published years ago that he had been on the CIA payroll. And to underline this fact, he'd been living in Virginia, not far from CIA headquarters here in Langley. He was sent back, and he was the CIA candidate to be the head of the Libyan military. All right. At a certain point, the 17th of February Martyrs Brigade intervenes to assassinate Yunus and a couple of his colonels. So in other words, Hifter takes over the military of Libya thanks to the 17th of February CIA Martyrs Brigade. Now, to sum this all up, we have a CIA asset who kills the American ambassador. We have a CIA 12-man team who do not intervene, and we have a Mormon congressman who's trying to cover it up. And then we have the 17th of February Martyrs Brigade, another CIA asset that also declines to intervene. Just one more piece of interesting evidence. The story that the whole thing was a demonstration gone violent, right? This is the whole Romney campaign now depends on refuting this story that the demonstration went violent. Well, you look on the Fox News website, and Fox News reports that 4 days after the event, a briefing was given to the House Intelligence Committee saying that, yes, it had been a demonstration gone violent. And the person giving that briefing was none other than General David Petraeus, General David Petraeus, the head of the CIA. So this thing has CIA written all over it. But now I would say, what CIA? What faction in the CIA that we know of, that we've been aware of for some time, has this existential interest in making sure that Romney gets into the White House? I say the prime suspects are the CIA Mormon Mafia. Interestingly enough, last Friday, when Hillary Clinton showed up at CSIS to give her attempt to defend herself and her department.
That's the big defense contractor.
No, CSIS is a sort of a think tank on.
Oh, SEIC, excuse me. Yeah, you're right.
This is the old Georgetown Center for Strategic and...
No, I know what it is. I've been on air a lot today. Go ahead.
Brzezinski. So she showed up there, right, to try to defend. Because ultimately, if anybody's responsible, the cabinet officer, right? There's such a thing as ministerial responsibility. If you want to blame anybody, it's Hillary Clinton. But fine. So she goes there and gets introduced by none other than Brent Scowcroft, the Mormon former head of the National Security Council for Bush the Elder. Bush the Elder, by the way, who got us into this whole series of ruinous Middle East wars with the first Gulf War, right, back in the days of Saddam Hussein the first time around. So there is this CIA Mormon mafia, right? The young Mormons go overseas, they become missionaries, they learn a foreign language, they come back, they can put on the application, don't smoke, don't drink, don't womanize, straight arrow, clean living, and the royal road to promotions, especially when you've got an angel like Brent Scowcroft and others like him who are superintending this entire thing. So you look at all of the hot air and lies and disinformation that have been purveyed in this country about this incident, and all of this stuff that I'm telling you is absolutely in the public domain. It was an October surprise to Carterize Obama, right? Because they're working from the original Obama printout that he's the new Carter. And they want to make sure that he gets and stays the new Carter. So they want to Carterize him. And they did it with this incident, right, with the film and the killing. And look at all those coincidences, right? This is just, it's too much to be a coincidence. Somebody, some faction in the CIA clearly wanted this to happen. And now they've made it happen. And this is supposed to be, I think, the first step in trying to decide the presidential election. There may be another one. But what I'm trying to alert people to is, if you remember, Alex, when Obama was contending for the presidency, there was this process going on in the background whereby the Brzezinski faction was seizing control of pieces of the policy apparatus, right? They were taking over pieces of the executive branch, even as Obama marched towards the White House, right? There were things going on in the background. And I think that's what's happening right now. So people have got to wake up. Romney is the ruling class choice. They've used Obama. They've gotten what they think they can out of him. His usefulness has been outlived. He's a squeeze.
Sure, that's what I'm getting from all of our inside sources, that the system's sick of Obama, and Obama's up there, you know, running around on the stage. But, I mean, they're all puppets to begin with. And we covered this, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, and it's great. It's very interesting. But in the 25 minutes we have left here, Webster, can we please get your take on the Iran-Syria situation, where that's going, the economy, all this?
Rather than the observer stuff, let me just, before we go to that, because I'll be happy to talk about that too. The other thing then is, if this is true, right, if you have Obama, which is a failure, right, it's a terrible failure.
He doesn't get Kolob.
Kolob, but Kolob has his own faction, right? Kolob is worse because the Kolob candidate comes in with this dedicated network inside the federal government that's going to do what he wants. And remember, the neocons will make a return in grand style. John Bolton, Secretary of State, based on being involved in this network that created that film, right, the Islamophobia film. Mike Levitt, the transition director, right, picking people even now in the background. The domestic and economic side will be this Mormon mafia on the domestic side. So nobody wants this. The Romney Obama choice is a Hobson's choice, right? This is.
So, do we want Obama and a bunch of bankers and commies, or do we want our precious?
Well, certainly the criminal energy, right? The real fury, the raving assault is on the side of Romney, because when the new administration comes in, this is always the case. The new administration comes in with a criminal energy that the old administration. Right here we have Obama, the effete president, with an exhausted, worn out administration. And then, of course, you've got to ask yourself, you're not picking candidates. You're trying to use the election to fight the ruling class that's behind the candidate.
I know. Listen, I understand you want to affect the election and you think Obama's better than Romney. And I know you went after Obama early on, saying what a horrible globalist he was. So I respect your educated view on all this. My only issue is it's deck chairs on the Titanic. They're admitting global depression now. What's happening with the dollar? Where do you see all that going, Webster? That's why I got you on.
Here's the point. October 27th in New York, in other words, for people that have been sick of Obama, sick of Romney, people who have been betrayed by Ron Paul, people who have been betrayed by Occupy Wall Street, and a dozen other contraptions that I could mention, now's the chance to try to do something about it, right? To break out of this, you know, constant, you know, pendulum, Hegelian dialectic, whatever you want to call it, of you know, oscillating back and forth between worse and you know, the lesser evil and the greater evil and whatever it is. And the point of this is the economic crisis is not a future event. The economic crisis is now, and it's called 30 million unemployed to start with.
Sure. My point is it's worsening and coming to a horrible new valley.
Right, fine. But again, you have to look at the means that have been applied, right? Why is Greece at 25% unemployment?
No, I mean, they put them in with tax increases and austerity and cuts and benefits to implode the economy. That's the IMF plan.
Today, we have Obama is already planning for the lame duck session. They're all planning for the lame duck session. It really, again, this is quite independent of Obama, Romney, although each one of them would handle it in a stylistic
way. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're all puppets, man. Come on.
Yes, obviously, but then what are you going to do about it? Is it enough to say they're all puppets and then our job is...
I don't think the public realizes how serious this is. I want to know personally where you see the economy going.
I see 50 million Americans whose lives are in danger right now, because those are the 50 million who have no job. They're beyond the 99, or in most states, they never even got 99.
They live on food stamps.
There is no, wait a minute, there's no welfare because Clinton destroyed welfare. I'm hearing reactionaries screaming about welfare. There is no welfare. It's gone. It was destroyed by Clinton in 1996 in order to get reelected. The reappearance of Clinton is really a harbinger of new betrayals, new attacks on the Social Security.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. Dependency doesn't work, but I understand that when you have bankers shutting down your society and offshoring your jobs for their own monopoly, that you have to feed people that you've taken their means to work away. I understand that. My point is the modern great society we've seen was to domesticate and was to socially engineer. We can argue all day, but I agree with you. When they pay farmers not to produce, when they shut us down, when they turn corn into ethanol, when they spend $22 billion to ship General Motors to China, I don't want to hear about a woman getting food stamps to feed her kids being the reason we have problems. I understand that these people will starve to death if they don't have that. I understand we are literally, when they pull the trigger on this, it'll take weeks to turn this country into a rioting wasteland.
Yes, and again, people are educated about Obama. I wrote two books. You've been distributing them, right? That's a wonderful thing. So people have some idea of Obama. In the case of Romney, they don't know. By the way, I have to urge people, go to progressivepress.com, and buy this book, right? Buy it as soon as you can. You can get it for as little as $6, and I think that's a no-brainer. But now, we've got a gang of 12 in the Senate, and here's what they're saying, that the fiscal cliff is coming and the lame duck session, and it's time for the grand bargain. And the grand bargain is supposed to be to avoid the defense cuts by cutting the food stamp budget. Now, this is where we get into genocide.
No, I had Congressman Walter Jones on, a serious, you know, conservative guy. He said we should end all these wars and take care of people. Obviously, you want to get the economy going. You take care of people. You don't keep the wars going. They're bleeding us dry.
Right. And but of course, the problem is that neither party has any interest in doing this. The only way.
Well, where are the defense contractors going to get all their contracts if the country fully collapses?
The ruling class is incapable of thinking that far down the road. This is always the fast buck, the quick ripoff, and so forth. So there, it's impossible to make an appeal even to enlightened self-interest to these people. Right? You can say if you do this, the Chinese will eat you for lunch. They don't care. They can't. They can't fathom it.
They're like I'll just move to China. They've got great investments. I'll move to Singapore.
Yeah, and Mitt Romney, you know, certainly already has his
he's already put his eggs in the Chinese basket.
But now, look, take a couple of cases, right? And I would urge you to take up some of these issues, right? Benton Harbor, Michigan, on the, you know, it's on the west side of the mitten. Benton Harbor, Michigan, is under dictatorship by the fascist governor of Michigan, Snyder, right? He's put a essentially a little dictator, a little Hitler, is running that city. And there are other cities in Detroit that are in the same way. We just had the Chicago teachers strike. They were sold out by Obama. We had the struggle in Wisconsin of the Wisconsin public employees trying to stop the fascist governor Walker, who's, of course, a big friend of Paul Ryan, the John Birch Society freak who's Romney's running mate. The Chicago teachers strike was almost going to be joined by the Service Employees International Union. You almost had the kind of critical mass you would have needed for a statewide Illinois and maybe Midwest-wide general strike. This is what we have to start thinking about. The problem with all those struggles is they're too narrow. If it's union only, it won't work, right? It's got to be black community, unemployed, women, other elements. You've got to have something to say to the troops to get them on your side so they're not on the other side. In other words, the mass strike approach and a program. And generally speaking, in all of these struggles where you're fighting either to get a decent wages for a public union or to roll back layoffs, firings in the public sector, or you're trying to maintain a service like an education or something else, it's the Wall Street sales tax. And this is what Occupy Wall Street never fathomed. It's not enough to protest Wall Street. The key is to make Wall Street pay. Take it out of their hide. Make them pay. We have a depression. You're saying people finally realize it's a depression. It's been a depression for more than 4 years now. Who's going to pay for this depression? Romney and company say, yeah, you are. You're working people. And the finance oligarchs are going to make out like bandits. There's got to be a way to say no to that. And it's a very simple thing. Wall Street sales tax. You pay sales tax on shoes. In some states, you even pay it on food at the grocery store. The Wall Street sales tax, 1% on quadrillions of turnover. A wealth tax is not going to do it. It's not enough wealth. And Glass-Steagall is a fine idea, but that's not a mass organizing demand. That's not a leading edge sort of mass traction, life or death kitchen table solution to this kind of stuff. So I urge people, turn away from both of them. Obama, I've said everything I can about Obama, 2 books. That's about it. And it's basically all in there. Nothing has been added really that I can see. And now Romney, it's the same story, except it's even more sinister. And then you've got this white horse prophecy, right? You're asking about Russia, Iran, places like this. How can you have a president who comes from a so-called church where they were swearing a blood vendetta, a blood revenge oath against the United States into the late 1920s, meaning George Romney, presidential candidate, father of the current one, swore to exact blood revenge against the United States and against the American people for the way they treated Joseph Smith and Hiram Smith, that they didn't bow down and then a mob came and killed them. And then on top of that, that's the oath of vengeance. Then we have the White Horse prophecy where we've got this apocalyptic scenario that the Constitution hangs by a thread. The Mormons take over the United States. They go on and conquer the world. And the last battle is with Russia. And I take it that's behind this otherwise mystifying statement from Romney that Russia is the main strategic foe of the United States. If you want to get on that trade, people have forgotten Bush, right? Bush, they asked Bush, you know, do you talk to your father? He said, no, but I talked to the higher father, right? Meaning his direct line to God. He told French President Chirac, I'm doing this to destroy the enemies of God's chosen people in the Middle East. This is insane stuff, but that's bad enough. Now what we have with Romney is a codified version, which is much more binding and I think is more frightening than anything we had with Bush the Younger. So people have got to think about this. So what we're going to need is a line of defense. There's got to be a defense line sometime in November. There's got to be some kind of a rudimentary line of defense, class defense, right, on the basis of these sorts of economic demands, so that when the assault comes, at least we can put out a propaganda demand saying, tax Wall Street, Wall Street sales tax, make the bankers pay. And if you're not doing that, I mean, people that are not doing that who think they're fighting Wall Street or the elite or the finance oligarchs or the 1% or the New World Order, it's not going to be adequate. In other words, people have to prepare.
Well, Webster, sure. I mean, I'm not fighting people that are 1%. I'm fighting the tiny elite who are anti-free market monopoly people who brag they want to shut down the middle class. That's the problem with the so-called general left. They just want little tiny things and don't understand the larger image, you know, of what can bring true freedom and an empowerment, a new renaissance, a new enlightenment. And I mean, I just see two incredibly corrupt power structures that are all interconnected and things running down. I mean, I don't see an even deeper.
How about the survival needs of the American people? I'm telling you, there are 50 million people. No job, no unemployment benefits. They have no health care.
No, I got it. And they'll vote to take my guns and take my house and line me and my family up and shoot us in a ditch if it means they'll get an Obama phone.
And the other thing is unions, right? There's got to be some pre-organized element in this stuff. Now, Romney and Ron Paul and Rand Paul are all on the same line. Bust every union in the United States. Bust them all.
Let me just stop you, Webster, because I've had you going on and on. I just want to say something. I'm all for the unions that stood up against the Rockefellers 100 years ago, 60, 70 years ago. Now they're just mafia organizations that lobby to ship the jobs overseas and give their money to Handgun Control, Inc. to try to take my guns. So, I mean, what do you say to the Obama phone lady who says, I got an Obama phone. In fact, we have the clip ready. I'm going to play this for you. What do you say to this lady? Here it is. Obama!
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone?
He's gonna do more.
How'd he give you a phone?
You sign up, if you on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Hey, I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks. Hey.
Bad. So there you go. I mean, that, hey, I mean, Alex, yeah.
What is that? The ghost of Breitbart? Is that the Republican National
So I'm not Committee? Allowed to go see what people that have, yeah, all they want is for welfare.
It's absolutely trivial. That's absurd. That's peanuts. It's chicken feed. It's nothing. You know how many Obama phones Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan Chase got? Pandit the Bandit is now quitting. You know how much he got from the federal government? It's in the trillions.
Hey, you're not listening, Webster. Listen, I had Greg Palast on today. All I've talked about is the trillions to foreign bankers and corporate welfare. And I just said it's wrong to demonize someone because they're getting food stamps when you've deindustrialized them by design because you don't want to have a complex, diverse market. You know, as John D. Rockefeller said, competition is a sin. All I know is and what I'm going to say is, the 100 million people on welfare of one form or not also happen to think Mao Zedong's a great guy, because I've talked to him. They think Lenin's great. They think my guns are bad. They just buy whatever the disgusting udders of the New World Order spray into their mouths and disease their brains with. So I don't like the banksters. But I'm down here on the ground with people that would probably hang me up by my ankles and chop me up for barbecue if the New World Order told them it was liberal. You know, a bunch of abortion-loving, eugenics-loving, black genocide-loving, New World Order fake liberal, limousine liberal trash who are also my enemy. But you understand? I don't like the neocons and all their... The whole ruling class is a bunch of rotting carcasses, and then they've got giant hordes of dumbed-down idiots following them.
So what's the basis to fight the ruling class?
I don't know.
You can turn on Larry Kudlow on CNBC every night, and he says, free market capitalism is the blah, 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 blah. Free market is their slogan. It's the slogan of John
D. Rockefeller. But they only say that because they don't really follow it. They want monopolies.
There is no such thing. That's the other thing, is that the free market has not existed since the...
Hey, I don't get tax incentives in Travis County, but every globalist corporation pays zero tax. And I went down to the city and they said, they laughed at me because I'm an American scum.
Right. So there's, and by the way, with the Mormons, you're a Gentile and a damned American too. So don't forget them. But the
what does that even mean? I don't know. What? A Mormon is a Gentile? What?
The Mormons consider everybody else, even including Jews, which is quite remarkable. The Mormons consider everybody else a Gentile. And you read their documents, you know, from the 19th century, from the founders, from Joseph Smith and Brigham Young.
Hey, I get the whole Mormon thing that you're using politically, but the Mormons today are not the Mormons of 100 years ago.
I say this to your listeners. I warned about Obama. I think this has turned out to be right. I used the same method to tell you that Romney is coming at you, and you better be ready. And I'm trying to warn people that this is going to be horrendous, and it's going to be beyond Obama because it's a different...
Well, that's scary. I hope you're... Approach. You know what? I hope you're wrong, buddy.
And the answer, I'm not saying, you know, support any lesser evil. I'm saying organize independently. Independently of the ruling class.
Okay, can I just have 5 minutes here at the end with you for my questions? I know you want solutions, and we've talked about those. I understand what you're saying. What is your real prognosis on the current course for the economy and Syria, Iran, the proxy wars? It looks like it's building towards a head.
Well, again, I would say the principal danger in the world economy is that we do have this depression, and the ruling class is determined to bring this sort of Greek or Spanish or British, because they are not too far behind, to bring that austerity to the United States. And if you want to do that, again, Romney is a more suitable vehicle than Obama, because Obama's got to worry about some of these constituency groups.
And they love austerity because everybody can be bought cheap then.
Because they are obsessed, they want to save all that money. Some of them want to use it directly for their own wealth. Others want to use it for bailouts and corporate welfare. Now, concerning Syria, this is always of some interest. Right now, the word on the ground in Syria is that the Syrian army is actually winning, that the Free Syrian Army, so-called, the killers, the people, a lot of them are Libyans who were brought from Benghazi over to Turkey and then into Syria. They've had heavy losses, and the Syrian army has been doing better and better against them. I think we've gotten to a point now where, at least in cities, the Free Syrian Army, the killers, death squads, cannot really hold on to anything in a city. They may be able to hold on to things in the countryside in northern Syria near the Syrian border, say north of Aleppo and in this Idlib area. They can do a few things there, but that's about all they can do. So now we've got the call had gone out. And this was actually right before Ambassador Stevens got killed. The call went out for a second wave of jihadis to be shipped in, and undoubtedly northern Libya was a key place for that to happen. So it's not clear to me what has happened with that particular echelon, right? That they wanted to send in. So the Syrian army is doing better, and there's you get freakouts going in the NATO circles. The Free Syrian Army has split into three groups, and they don't coordinate. There are 300 death squads. That was always true, but now the 300 death squads, instead of at least being under the nominal leadership of this guy Major Assad, they're now going three different directions. One of them is a very obvious Saudi puppet, I would say, a Sunni sort of Wahhabite preacher. Now, where might this end? Well, on the one side, it looks to me like there is some perspective that the guerrillas, the killers, will be reduced to a sort of low to medium level guerrilla war. They've tried offensives, right? They had one offensive a little bit after the middle of
July. But now they're saying no fly zones, boots on the ground, invasions.
There's always a question, right? Suppose Obama thinks he's losing the election. You could also have, up to now I've been talking about Romney's, the Romney network, pro-Romney network, and what they might do as an October surprise. It's also possible that Obama would carry out some kind of an October surprise, because when you get very close to the election, the effect that people have observed is the so-called rally round effect, that if it happens a month or two before the elections, there's plenty of time for the various attack machines to generate anti-Obama sentiment. But if it happens right before the election, the immediate sort of Pavlovian response of the American people is to support the president no matter who he is, right? To rally around the president. So that might be something in Obama's quiver when we get close to the elections. The other thing, though, is I think one perspective is that the Syrian army simply grinds down these death squads, and we may be getting to the point where there are not enough death squads left in the Middle East to keep this going, because the Syrian army.
So they may be running out and exhausting all the Al Qaeda jihadis that the West is funding. Webster, Tarpley.net. Thank you.
The other thing is if you get a revolution in Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, or Qatar, that would also tend to shut down what those people are doing through Turkey into Syria. Or Erdogan of Turkey may come to his senses and say, look, I've gone all the way out on the limb. Obama's been lying to me. The CIA has been lying to me. There is no perspective for overthrowing Assad in the short to medium run. I'm going to cool it. I'm going to butt out. I'm going
to
pull back.
Yeah, but they seem to be committed. Webster, we'll talk to you again very soon about this particular topic. Thank you so much. We're going to go to break here and play this special report on the UN Agenda 21 and how it mirrors the Chinese authoritarian system. Well, of course it does. The Rockefellers in the 70s made a deal. This has been declassified for China to be the model. They're going to have you live in 250 square foot. Now, Bloomberg's announced this facilities, and you'll pay the property taxes for a mansion on them. Now, this is their model while they live in giant mansions themselves.
Dykes here with a quick update from Infowars.com investigating the stealth implementation of the United Nations Agenda 21 right here in the United States under the name of sustainable communities. So why is this important? To oppose Agenda 21 is to oppose the planned society. As the cartoon Plannedopolis tried to convince us.
I'm looking forward to showing you around Plannedopolis today.
where we were told how great life would be under a centralized system.
No, not meat. It's not your birthday. The Global Food Council are doing a really good job of keeping food production going.
Directed by technology.
Switch off brain and go to work. With this many people around, I'm glad there's a mega computer in charge.
Despite the fact that our lives would be tightly controlled, including